Before we get started on the talking about these particular airplanes, let's point out particular airplanes that we have. We got a T-28C that's on the end. That's Dr. Glasser owns that airplane. This is a T-28A here with a red nose. It would have a two-bladed prop on it, but it was an A model. It was used by the Air Force. Obviously, Air Force markings. Glasser's got, Dr. Glasser has Air Force markings on that. That's actually a Navy airplane. And then we have here behind us, we've got the T-34C, which that was a Navy training airplane. And that, see, there, Gary, I'm going to screw this up. I know it. Gary Scalepi. Is that close enough? Okay. Thank you very much. And then in behind us is a T-34B. And that T-34A, is that right? Or B? It's a B.
B. B.
Yeah, B. And that's Billy Smith owns that airplane. Now, we have right next to Dr. Glasser here is going to tell us about his particular airplane. And he holds an ACESAC ground level acro team card, and he is on that particular T-28 for 30 years, and over the years he's put different modifications on it. Paul Walter is an NATA historian. He's owner of T-34s and T-28s, and he's author of many T-34 and T-28 articles. And you might have even written a book. I don't know. You written a book?
Not yet.
Well, why not? Okay. And then over here we have Tom Donovan. Where's Tom? Okay. He was an instructor in the T-34C. He's flown the T-34, both of them, the Bs and the Cs, and he's also flown the T-28. And now I'll just turn it over to you, Tom, and let you just take it from here.
Well, great. Hey, thanks for coming out. The sun's come out, the rain's gone away, and this is the 70th anniversary of the first flights of these airplanes, 70 years ago. So that's really amazing. Little bit additional information. Ralph Glasser's is really a Bravo model, and it started its life in the Navy, but it's really was used in, and the paint scheme is from Vietnam. These were planes that kept on getting recycled. If you go out in Warbird Alley, there's a Fennec out there. It started life as this T-28A in 1951 with an 800 horsepower engine, and ended its life, or it's not ended yet, it's still flying, as a Fennec with a big engine. So I'll tell you a little difference about the planes and the history of them, if that's okay. We came out of World War II, the U.S. government had 60,000 trainers, you know, lots of trainers, but not a single one of them had a nose wheel. They were all tail wheels. Why? You had to teach aviators at that time, don't ground loop. All these fighters out here are in tailwheel planes, and the dreaded ground loop is what they worried about. B-17s, don't ground loop. Well, they knew at the end of World War II, jets were the future, and they all had tricycle gear. Ground loops were, you can't ground loop a nose wheel plane. Very difficult. So why train people in a steerman to fly a jet that's a nose wheel? They don't need to know that skill set of not ground looping a plane. So they came to North American and said, build a plane that will transition our students to your F-86. The F-86 Sabre was already in production. They were on the line in 1947. And they said, build this trainer, and the cockpit came right out of the F-86. The throttle's in the same position, the gear's in the same position. They wanted it complicated enough. They wanted it complicated enough that it would teach them how to fly, but not so complicated that they couldn't be the first students. And Mick down on the end, he's going to tell us it was one of the first planes he flew. Anyway, the Air Force said, we like them. They bought 1,200 of them with the little engine like this with a two-bladed prop. After a few years, they said, if we want to train people in jets, let's start them in jets. So they got the T-30, T-37 Tweet. And they took these and retired them, sold them. And the Navy then said, well, we'd like some. They had the B. And then when they wanted to teach aircraft carrier landings, and Mick's going to tell us about what it was like to land on a carrier, they developed the C with a tail hook. Those had the big engines. Well, the French had a little skirmish in Algeria, and they came and bought the A's out of the from the U.S. government, out of the Davis-Monthan, put big engines in them. And pretty soon the U.S. government, our plane in the front, is one that went to Congo for the CIA. Others went to Vietnam and Laos, and they were pulling them out of the desert, putting big engines, and those are the Delta, the Ds, the D5s, the D10s, and the Fennec. So that's kind of the history of it. The T-34, as it said, these were about $180,000 in 1949. Walter Beach said, I can make a trainer a lot cheaper than that, and it's going to be a lot easier to maintain than a Stearman or an AT-6 has fabric wings. Fabric control surfaces. So he came up with the Mentor, and the Mentor was so good, they put the turbine in it, and it was still being used to 2012. The T-28s, the Navy quit using them in 1984, but if you go out on the ramp, you'll see an Army one there. The Army kept on using them until 1993 to follow behind helicopters. So that's kind of the history of the T-28s. They got in civilian hands. They're all owned by civilians now. So that's how we get to today. And I think, Mick, why don't you tell us a little about carrier landings and what it was like to land on the Grey Goose and how you approached this plane, and how it might have intimidated you a little bit because it's a little bit bigger than a Piper Cub.
Well, thank you very much, Paul, and whatever. And again, everybody, thanks for coming out today. A beautiful day, and hope you're just all having a wonderful time. My background is a Navy pilot during the Vietnam era, and went through a Navy training. And at that time, in order to be a naval pilot, you had to be carrier-qualified. So everybody who got their wings in the Navy was carrier-qualified. We ended up flying. Initially the T-34s, and then ended up graduating to the T-28s. The T-28s we could fly were the Bs and Cs. The B model has no tail hook, as Ralph's airplane at the end down there. And then the C model has a tail hook. There was about, 299 of those built, whatever. And the C model is a lot of fun. It's got a shorter propeller on it because when you touch down on the carrier deck, they didn't want the prop hitting the carrier deck, so it gave a little bit more clearance. So the T-34C has a little less performance than the B. You had to carry about an inch or two of power if you're flying in formation with them. Landing on the carrier deck was a lot of fun. You see pictures of aircraft carriers are huge when you're next to them. The Lexington, when I used to, as a student, would go in Pensacola and go jogging next to the Lexington. It was his dock there at Naval Air Station Pensacola. The ship was huge. We practice FCLPs, field carrier landing practice, at BT-5 at Softley Field. And then when we got done with all the FCLPs and so on, you're qualified, then they sent you out to the boat. You'd fly out to the Gulf of Mexico. The Lexington would be out there. They use the Lexington as a training carrier. There were many other training carriers that the Navy used, the Antietam and so on, and lots of different carriers. But when my turn was out there, I flew out to the Lexington. The Lexington, as you're up there holding that this huge ship that you've seen pictures of aircraft carriers, when you're looking down on the thing, that little thing is so doggone small sitting down there in the Gulf of Mexico, you're wondering, how in the heck am I ever going to land on that thing? It's just so doggone tiny. Turns out it works out good. The training was wonderful. The instructors were great. The T-28s are very rugged and very reliable. And the entire process was a lot of fun. 325 feet, and then you roll in, you call the ball and fuel state and, Roger Ball and so on. And then you just follow the meatball down and the touching down. It was a lot of fun. We did three touch and goes initially to get make sure that you got the flow of the pattern and so on. And then your next six traps, and then or six limit with the trap, and being this time the hook was down, and you'd catch the CDP or the cross deck pennant or the wire, whatever you want to call it. And on the Lexington, you shot for the number one wire. A lot of other carriers and so on, maybe the wire number two or wire number three was where you were aiming for. But with the T-28s and the Lexington, we were shooting for the number one wire, and okay passes is the best you could do, and so that all worked out very good. Airplane comes to abrupt stop, whatever, after they, because you get the hook and make the stop. You don't use any brakes. It's a hook that fits in the wire and slows you all the way down. Then they back you up a little bit. They gave you the sign to raise the hook, and you raise that. Then they bring you over to the to a line on the carrier that was the deck launch. We didn't do any catch shots with the T-28s, and then they launch you right off the deck. You follow this center line right down the deck, and the airplane would get airborne, usually by the forward elevator of the Lexington, and then we just get in the pattern again for our six traps. Once we finished that, we went back up to a little holding pattern, waited for everybody to quit, and then flew home. And it was an exhilarating experience just to be out there. For those of you, it just was a lot of fun. For some of you that flying over water, like I was just talking with some folks, you know, you get kind of make sure you're flying over water. You want to have all the emergency equipment and so on. But it never occurred to me that these T-28s, they were all so good and all that stuff, that we'd fly out 50 miles out to find the carrier and fly it, and just had a wonderful time, not ever worried about it being over water or anything like that. So a wonderful experience with a great airplane. These airplanes are now still flying. A lot of C models are still around. And so on, but it's a great experience, a wonderful airplane, and we fly in with a great bunch of people in the T-28 community, and I don't think you could get a better experience as far as have big sound, lots of power, and it's just a wonderful airplane to fly with great people. So thanks very much for coming out today.